This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Former first daughter Chelsea Clinton will be at the Cincinnati Zoo this week to sign copies of her new book, Don't Let Them Disappear. It's about endangered species and targets young readers. I spoke with Clinton earlier. Chelsea Clinton, thanks so much for taking some time to be with Cincinnati Edition today.
Thanks so much, Michael, for having me.
The book's title is Don't Let Them Disappear. How do you expect the message of this book, Endangered Species, to resonate with children?
Well, I hope that children feel both informed, kind of with fun facts about the different animals, that sea otters wash their paws after every meal, or that a single giraffe tick can kill a lion, sort of from, you know, the everyday to the sort of more exciting, so that they feel informed about these precious species, but also get empowered to help save them. Because we know that if we don't make radically different choices, you know, these animals could disappear, some in our lifetime, Michael, and most in the lifetimes of the young readers who I hope will read Don't Let Them Disappear and then take action so that these animals are around kind of for our lives, their lives, and really forever.
I had the opportunity to read the book before we spoke today, and I'm curious. I wasn't sure what the target age group was. It seemed to have a variety of messages. So how do you describe the target reader for this book?
Well, it's a picture book, which generally means it's for kind of 4 to 8 year olds. That tends to be the audience for picture books. And yet I hope it also really is for kind of the kids who will read the book on their own or kind of with their parents, grandparents, teachers, so that it's really kind of for the community and the family. Because while there are some things that kids can do on their own, help recycle, to fight global warming, to help save polar bears, you know, there's some things very much kids are going to have to do with their parents, grandparents, other adults in their lives, like convincing them to not buy ivory or kind of not buy anything that comes from an endangered species. So I do hope it's for both kids and the trusted adults in their lives.
So if we're talking about 4 to 8 year olds, kind of smaller kids, are you finding that they are wanting to help in that way? You said stop buying ivory or whatever little ways they might be able to. Are you finding that they want to get involved?
Overwhelmingly, Michael. I mean, just in the last couple weeks since I've been on my tour, you know, I've met so many kids, you know, who are exactly in this age range, many of whom just don't understand, like, why would anyone want to hunt and kill a lion? Or why is anyone going to chop down the trees that orangutans live in? I mean, sort of this just disbelief about, like, why this is happening, and then a real motivation to try to do something about it. And then very sweetly also the kids throughout my tour have been telling me about their favorite animals. Thankfully, many of which are in the book, some of which certainly aren't in the book because it's their pet. And then I've met a lot of kids who are very upset there are no frogs in the book. So I definitely have promised, like, if there's a second one, frogs will be included.
It's a tough crowd, those 4 to 8 year olds, I imagine.
It really is.
So there was an article that appeared in Bustle about this book upon its release, and the writer noted, quote, generally, Clinton's books for children have centered on political activism. In another book titled Start Now, You Can Make a Difference, for instance, Clinton distills social activism down for children, making it easier to understand and possibly inspiring them to practice it. So how exactly do you do that more broadly across all of your books?
Well, I spend a lot of time talking to kids and listening to kids, kind of for all of my books that are targeted to kids. So I think, you know, if what I'm writing doesn't feel relevant or authentic to what kids care about and what they want to learn more about how to change positively, you know, then, like, why would I bother to write it, and why would anybody bother to read it? So, you know, Michael, I spent a lot of time really talking and listening to kids about what they care about, kind of what's on their mind, you know, what are they passionate about, what are they frustrated by. And in the process of Start Now, which you mentioned, I was really struck by how many kids talked to me about the environment and about animals, and particularly how many younger kids talked to me about animals and how concerned they were about whether everybody knew how to take care of their pets, or animal welfare in their own communities and what was happening at animal shelters and in zoos and aquariums and what was happening with their favorite endangered species, whether they felt most drawn to elephants like I do or sharks like my daughter. And I was so just continually impressed by the kind of compassion and empathy and also real just curiosity that kids have for animals and the kind of responsibility they feel that comes with that kind of compassion and curiosity to try to help protect animals, you know, in their hometowns and really around the world. And it was that kind of pushed me to write Don't Let Them Disappear. You know, it was for kind of the kids that I talked to and heard from so strongly that animals are really important to how they think about their own lives and also how they think about sustainability and saving the planet.
You grew up in a political family, obviously, and when you were a child in the public eye, and, you know, we're the same age, so I remember being a teenager when you were a teenager in the White House, and did you think about political activism as a child, or is this something that you wanted to instill in children as an adult?
Well, I thought a lot about, I would say, civic engagement as a kid, although I wouldn't have known that term, probably. In that, you know, even when I was kind of the age of the Don't Let Them Disappear or kind of Start Now age groups, you know, I also loved animals and was outraged about the elephant poaching crisis that was a reality when we were kids, Michael, like in the 80s, the first real kind of crisis facing elephants. And I was a little kid in Little Rock, Arkansas, but I wanted to do whatever I could. And that meant, you know, telling people to not buy ivory, you know, at church or like around my Girl Scout meetings at school. And my parents simply supported that. And it meant, you know, like checking out old National Geographic from the library and pouring over them with my mom and my grandmother to learn more about elephants and what we could do kind of even from far away. And then helping start my school's recycling program and helping kind of raise awareness about that. So I am really thankful that my parents kind of expected me to be civically engaged. And I do think part of that's being politically engaged. I don't think we're kind of only politically engaged, ideally, just kind of on election day. You know, I hope that we're aware of what's happening and kind of raise our voices about what we agree with and don't agree with kind of in the political sphere, not just on election day, but kind of, you know, around the calendar year. I also think, though, politics isn't the only way to be engaged civically. I think, you know, kids may not be old enough to vote or run for office. They can absolutely still go to, you know, town hall meetings and with their parents to vote, and I hope they do. But they can really influence what's happening in terms of the choices their families are making at home and, like, what they're buying or not, what's happening in their schools, what's happening in other places they spend time. And I think that's hugely valuable and important.
One of your calls to action at the end of Don't Let Them Disappear is for kids to visit zoos and to support zoos, which is what you'll be doing when you're in Cincinnati. So what role do you think a trip to the zoo can play in shaping a child's mind about these endangered species?
I think that good zoos and aquariums, and thankfully, you know, the Cincinnati Zoo definitely falls into that, good zoos and aquariums that really kind of put the dignity of their animals first or focused on kind of protecting and preserving not only the animals under their care, but also those species kind of in the wild around the world, help children see biodiversity in such kind of a profound way because they're able to see so many different animal and then also the plant species that often the animals have to eat in one place. And I hope that says to kids, not only, wow, look at how magnificent you know, my favorite hippo is, but also understanding like how interconnected we all are, because we are all interconnected, and you know, we know that our health is dependent on kind of the continued health of animal and plant species around the world. And I think just for kids being able to see all of that in one space at one time kind of helps them begin to understand that, as well as helps kids discover what animals they'll feel most drawn to, and then hopefully being drawn to that animal will compel them to want to protect them.
Well, you're drawn to Fiona the Hippo, the superstar at the Cincinnati Zoo, and you had
I love Fiona the Hippo.
Tell us about experience.
She's my celebrity crush.
Yeah, that's what I read. Is that she's your celebrity crush, and you got to meet her last fall, which is really cool. And
I did.
I anticipate.
Have you seen how happy I look in the ridiculous video when I have this massive smile that's about to break off my face, and I want to jump through the water and give her a hug, although I know that wouldn't be safe for her or me. I love her story of resilience so much. And I also love the story of the collaboration between the Children's Hospital and the zoo to help save her life and put her on kind of good standing so that she could thrive as she now is, at 2+ years old. So I really, it's both her own kind of triumph that I find so compelling. And it's also really kind of the human ingenuity and dedication to her that I find equally inspiring.
Well, we'll look forward to some more Instagram videos from your next visit with Fiona. Chelsea Clinton, thanks so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Michael.
And Chelsea Clinton will be at the Cincinnati Zoo on Thursday, April 25th from 5 to 7 p.m. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.